Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Did you call?
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standick here talking to you guys on a Monday night when the Wizards pick up win 49, one away from the mythical 50, a number they have not reached since 1978-79. They are getting oh so close to that spot. They beat the Pistons in the game, even without John Wall, even without Otto Porter, who I believe for the most part rested to deal with some nagging injuries. I'll get to that in a second. The Wizards have another injury situation, though, to deal with now. Jan Mahimi left the game in the fourth quarter. We'll talk about that in a second. And Bradley Beal rose above all in this win over the Pistons. Wizards have one game left in the regular season. We'll get into that. We'll update some of the playoff situations because some interesting things going on in Eastern Conference for sure. And at the end of all that, I will play for you guys the rest of my one-on-one with Michael Lee from The Vertical. We talked, in fact, the rest of this, I believe, is largely about the playoff situation, the idea of when do you want to play Cleveland, what's the better first-round matchups, things like that. So I'll get into all that here in just a second on the podcast. Quick reminders, as always, you can find us on iTunes or hopefully anywhere else you do your podcast, and hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Wizards or at Ben Standing. I do have a favor to ask. Obviously, we've been, you know, doing the podcast now for a while, literally the whole season. We've had a lot of different guests. Some have come back many times. Some have only one off. There's some people I've been wanting to get, and I'm hoping I can get in the postseason. But I'm curious what you guys think about about the guests. Is there anybody we haven't had that you would like back? Anybody we've had that you think you want to hear more from? Anything in general for the podcast you've got some suggestions on as we head into the playoffs? I'd love to hear from you. Here's how you can help me out on that. Go check out my Facebook page, at Ben Standig. There's a post on there. It'll be on the top of the page. Give me your thoughts. Who do you want to hear from? What things do you kind of want to hear from in the playoffs? I will certainly do my best to accommodate whatever I can do. Some gets are going to be a little bit harder than others, but we'll see what we can do. I've already got a couple of things. I've already talked to some people who have not been on the podcast yet. I'm hoping that they'll be around for the postseason, and I definitely want to bring back some of the voices that we've had throughout the season as well. So if you guys can do that for me, and while you're there on the page, if you can hit the like button, that'd be cool. That would be very helpful for sure. All right, let's talk about this game for a minute. Let's talk about this game for a minute. So no John Wall. He sits with a quad injury. Sounded like Scott Brooks was suggesting that if this was a playoff game or what have you, that John Wall would be able to go. Okay, John Wall's obviously a gamer. Both Wall and Brooks have talked consistently about him playing unless there was a reason to sit. He did sit, so that's something to keep an eye on. But like I said, I'm not too worried about John Wall, and, we'll see what happens. The Wizards close out the regular season, of course, Wednesday at Miami. That is a game that will mean something for the Miami Heat. Won't mean anything for the Wizards. So, we'll see. I don't want to really speculate too much, but if John Wall is banged up enough that they felt he'd sit today, probably no reason to play him in this last game. The only reason would be to, have the Wizards sort of fine-tune their overall situation on both ends of the court. I don't really think, though, that's needed for him, and we'll talk more about the game in a second, but I think, at least offensively, I think Brandon Jennings, who started, did a good job for the Wizards in terms of keeping up the pace, staying, in that sort of offensive flow, so some of the other guys could, kind of get back to, to get into what they try to do offensively. No Otto Porter. He's now missed two games in a row with back spasms. I was told he was at shoot-around, though, this morning. So it doesn't sound like it's a huge issue. I'm going to guess it was just precaution. I'm curious to see if he'll play in the last game just to get a little bit of a run there. Otherwise, he will have been off essentially a week. We still don't know when the Wizards are going to play. However, it is almost likely they're going to play on Sunday. It was announced today that the Capitals will play Saturday night. It doesn't appear as if on Saturday the first NBA telecast is before 3:30, so that pretty much eliminated Saturday for the Wizards. And I'd been told previously it would be Saturday, Sunday. So we would think the Wizards will play Sunday, time to be determined, as well as the opponent. More on that in a second. As far as the game, honestly, there's really not much to say about this game. It was literally, I believe, the only game in the East today that had zero impact on the standings. The Pistons have fallen out of it already. The Wizards had nothing to play for, locked in as the 4 seed. That said, Bradley Beal did not play like a guy who had nothing to play for. With John Wall out, he took over the number one option spot and did it with gusto. 33 points, 13 of 20 from the field. But normally we talk about Beal's three-point touch. Boy, this guy, better flight, better in the air than United, right? Is that too soon? Fair joke? I don't know. Bad joke? Who knows? Whatever. Bradley Beal had a couple of massive dunks in this game, including one late to sort of help seal the win. He's never been shy about about attacking the rim. The issue has typically been his ability to get himself in position hit, we've talked about this all year. His ball handling skills are just so much better. And we saw that throughout this game. He did also make three three-pointers. So a tremendous game for Beal. I don't want to overstate how good he was. But, the moment for me that crystallized why I thought Bradley Beal could emerge into the players we've seen this year, even though a lot of people were doubting him those early years, whether because of the injuries or if you looked at his just raw stats, they weren't always that impressive. It was those two playoffs appearances, and specifically the one when John Wall fractured his hand against Atlanta and Beal had to take over. He had to play more of a point guard role, and he did it, was not afraid of the moment. That, more than anything, the not being afraid of the moment is what has always stood out to me. And again, this game was meaningless in theory, but Beal, it was an opportunity for him to be the lead, and he took it, ran with it, and did a tremendous job for the Wizards. Also a good sign, Markieff Morris, 20 points, 8 rebounds. He made 2 of 4 threes. He's shooting, I think, about 67% from 3 this month. Small sample size, but he was a train wreck in March. So good sign to see his shot evolving there. Tomas Satoransky, I don't know how much we're going to see of him in the playoffs. Probably not at all, but had some good moments for sure with 11 points. Now, let's get to Jan Mahimi. He had 6 points and 11 rebounds, but with about 5 minutes to go in the game, he was outguarding Pistons guard Ish Smith on a switch. It was kind of a weird play. They both jumped. Their ankles essentially landed at the same spot, and Smith's, I guess, landed on top of Mahimi's. Jan Mahimi immediately sort of grabbed at his leg and started hobbling. The TV camera showed him hobbling into the locker room. Scott Brooks said after the game he's got a strained calf. The reporters at the game said there were crutches for Mahimi by his locker. That is definitely going to be something to watch. He has, really been a big help for the Wizards coming on here as a as an interior option. And he's giving Scott Brooks an options here So, you know, he can go with a little more offense with Gortat, a little more rebounding and defense with Mahimi. Would certainly be a big blow if something were to happen there. So we'll hope for the best on Jan Mahimi, who obviously has been a snake bit most of the year with the knee injury. So I don't want to speculate too much on that. If I hear anything by the time I'm done with this podcast, that's probably not going to be the case. I will update that. Otherwise, the Wizards shot 50.6% from the field. That rebound the Pistons 48-36. I think their defense, especially in the perimeter, was still sort of Detroit just is not a great team. No, they're playing without Reggie Jackson. They just don't have a lot of firepower from deep, and they couldn't take advantage of some miscues by the Wizards. They did come back in the third and fourth quarter to tie the game, but the Wizards hold on. So that's the gist for this game. Again, not the game itself, not that important. The injury situation is taking on far more relevance, and it was good again to see Beal take control and Morris continuing his improvement this month. Let's get to the playoff situation, though. This is where things get really interesting. We have talked forever in a day, about the idea of the Wizards. They need to stay in the 2-3 spot because you want to avoid Cleveland in in the Eastern Conference semifinals. That's what we've all been thinking. That might not be the case. Cleveland sat their main guys, no LeBron James, no Kyrie Irving. They did still have Kevin Love, and Deron Williams had a turn-back-the-clock performance against Miami. But the Heat pulled it out in overtime, beat Cleveland. The Boston, meanwhile, beat Brooklyn, which means Boston moves back into first in the Eastern Conference by one game over Cleveland with one game to go each. Now, Cleveland owns the tiebreaker, but Boston, you know, their host Milwaukee. Milwaukee is still playing for something. Milwaukee's definitely a good team. You're going to have to think Boston's going to go all out for that. If anything else, it just would mean for Boston, they would host a Game 7 in every round in the Eastern Conference playoffs. That's obviously a good thing for them. Meanwhile, Cleveland is hosting Toronto. Toronto is going to have nothing to play for, I don't believe, at this point. Even if Toronto were to beat Cleveland and they were finishing a tie in the standings, Cleveland won the season series. So Toronto doesn't really have anything to play for. Cleveland does, although it was weird that they sat the players that they sat. Maybe they thought they could beat Miami without, and look, it went to overtime, so they were pretty close. But it's odd, you've been playing LeBron as many minutes as they have to sit him now, which sort of indicate that they're at least willing to concede the one seed. As for the Boston, they host Milwaukee. Those two teams have had two tight games, season series 1-1. Interesting there. So if Boston wins, if you're a Wizards fan who does not want to face Cleveland until you have to, root for Boston to win. They get the one seed. The Wizards would be the four. If both advance, they would play in the Eastern Conference semifinals. If you want to have some thoughts on the best scenario there as to when to face Cleveland, when not to face them, I do get into that a little bit with Michael Lee here. And you can also go back and check out the podcast I did with Todd Dybas after the Miami Heat game on Saturday. Todd has a different take than I think a lot of other folks talking about this. I think it's a reasonable one for sure, especially with the way Cleveland has been sputtering of late. Speaking of Milwaukee and Atlanta are still in the mix for the five seed, but basically I think it's Atlanta. It's Atlanta's to lose. Here's the scenario works like this. Atlanta has two games left. If they win one of those two games, which is either hosting Charlotte tomorrow, meaning Tuesday, or at Indiana on Wednesday, they win either one of those games, the Atlanta Hawks are the fifth seed. If the Milwaukee Bucks lose their last game against Boston, Atlanta is the fifth seed. So the odds are certainly in Atlanta's favor to be the fifth seed. That would mean Wizards Atlanta. Right or wrong, we'll see. Atlanta's definitely been picking it up lately. But for the most part, I think most of us have been suggesting it'd be good for the Wizards to get Atlanta relative to some other teams. I think it goes without saying Miami, who still has some work to do to get in the playoffs, it's good for the Wizards to avoid Miami. Milwaukee is a team that I have not felt great about the Wizards facing. Atlanta's definitely getting hot at the right time, I guess you could say. But at the same point, based on what we've seen over the course of the season and the matchup, particularly on the perimeter, I like the Wizards' chances against the Hawks. So if you want Wizard talks in round one, and I know I speak for the local media who will be traveling to say that's what you do, you want Atlanta over Milwaukee, sorry Milwaukee, then Wizards, then you're rooting for the Hawks to beat the Hornets. So fascinating stuff. The Eastern Conference, all kinds of crazy. You know, it's going to go down to the last day for so many of these teams, both in terms of seeding and believe to make the playoffs. Indiana, Chicago, Miami, all still in play for the all still in play for a playoff spot. The top six seeds the top six teams are at least in. The seedings are up in the air for Atlanta, Milwaukee. But Indiana, Chicago, Miami, I don't have the scenarios in front of me, but it looks like all three can still make the playoffs. Each have one game left. Fascinating there. I'm sort of torn. The Miami is a great story that they've gone from 13-30 to be in this position to possibly make the playoffs. It would be a great story. On the flip side, the Bulls, give them credit. The Bulls 7-3 in their last 10. I thought they were dead a couple weeks ago. I think the Miami would be a better story. And frankly, I don't know if the Wizards want to play Miami, but Miami would certainly, I would think, give Boston or Cleveland, if that's the matchup, a much tougher matchup than Chicago, who other than Jimmy Butler, I still just don't buy that the Bulls can really do much of anything. I think Miami could at least wear one of those other teams down. They cannot get the 5 seed, though, so that is all we need to worry about there. All right, you're listening again to the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standick here. So let's get into this. I talked to the man, the myth, the legend. I think I've now said this now twice about Michael Lee, but he is a very, very, very good friend of the podcast. I really appreciate the time he's given us. Of course, he talked to us at great length earlier in the season about the Ernie Grunfeld era. I highly recommend, if you're just catching up to the podcast, to go check that out. I'll try to post some of those links maybe tomorrow on Twitter. Here we're much more focused on the present. We're talking to Michael about his thoughts on the playoffs, possibly facing some of these teams. How does he think the Wizards match up against some of these opponents? What does he make of Cleveland, and so on and so on. So we'll get into that here. After that, my plan would be for tomorrow's podcast. I did a one-on-one with Jason Smith before the Wizards went on the road. I will play that one for you guys. Then Wizards wrap up the regular season Wednesday against Miami. I'm not going to be with you guys for that game. I will be at the Verizon Center. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are in town. Don't blame me. Blame the schedulers. They made it such. I'll be at the Chili Peppers. I'm working on having a guest host, though, fill in here for you guys. If not, I will figure out a podcast. And we'll see what we can do. Most likely we'll already know the Wizards situation before then, so probably won't have too much to say, but nonetheless, always want to have a podcast after a game for you guys, one way or the other. All right, so let's get into this here. Here is the rest of my interview with Michael Lee, and I'll say goodbye at the end of that interview. So here we go. The rest of my interview with Mr. Michael Lee from The Vertical. I know I got to get you out of here, so let me just ask you this. Everybody doesn't know what to make of Cleveland. LeBron, they smoked Boston the other day. So you're thinking, okay, here we go. They flipped the switch. And now, yesterday, they lose to Atlanta playing nobody. The Hawks rested everybody. And Mike Dunleavy's dropping 20. And Cleveland
that had the Mike Dunleavy revenge game, by the way. So you couldn't do anything to stop that.
Yeah, and so Cleveland has the lead in the fourth quarter, I think, and they blow it. I guess, where are you on the whole, okay, is Cleveland going to flip the switch? And then to the point of the Wizards, since – at least at the moment we're talking, we don't quite know where this seems are going to be. Are they better off? Either way, are they better off getting Cleveland, avoiding Cleveland until they absolutely have to, i.e. the conference finals? Or are they better off getting them earlier when maybe Cleveland still hasn't quite figured it out yet?
I think for the Wizards to get to the conference finals would do so much. It would go so far in terms of elevating John and Brad's belief in just what they can do to lead a team. You could see it. With what happened in Toronto, Lowry and DeRozan, especially DeRozan, he took his game to such a high level this year. I think after realizing, well, we just were just two games from winning, going to the NBA Finals. I think it does a lot to your confidence. I think that if they could find an ideal situation where they would get Cleveland in the conference finals, that'd be more ideal. Because Cleveland, to me, they sort of remind me of those Laker teams with Shaq and Kobe, where once Shaq sort of said, okay, I'm taking half of the year off, Kobe, you lead, I show up in the playoffs and I'll dominate. They sort of remind me of that, where you feel like not everybody has LeBron's desire to go down as the greatest player. A lot of them are probably like, oh, we already know we can turn it on in the playoffs. We'll just turn it on in the playoffs. I don't think that there's many guys on that team who share like LeBron's like all out, I have to have it now, urgency. So Cleveland still scares me. I'm not one that's trying to dismiss them because, you know, these guys have sort of been through it. They won a championship. You can say what you want about Golden State's situation last year with the suspension, the injuries and all that, but they won the title and they felt emboldened. And if you look at how they started this year, I think they were like 12-1 or something crazy. They jumped out the gates and were just dominant. That's kind of what I could see happening in the playoffs. So I wouldn't want them in the second round for that reason. That being said, you know, Kyrie's had a couple knee problems. Kevin Love hasn't really looked the same since he came back from his knee surgery. And those are going to be the two guys that are going to determine how far the Cavs go. LeBron, you still got to take him out four times. That's still proven to be one of the hardest things to do in the NBA.
Yeah.
The teams that do take him out aren't really standing, you know. And I think the only players I think that are out there who can say that they defeated LeBron, he never got payback, are Dirk and Dwight Howard. Everybody else had to take that L. It'll be interesting, but I think if you're the Wizards, you want to get to the conference finals because you've been to the second round. You've been the better team in the second round. You should have defeated Atlanta. If John is healthy, you defeat Atlanta. You go to the conference finals and you get Cleveland then. The year before, you probably should have defeated the Indiana Pacers, but you just weren't ready. It was just your first year in the playoffs. You had to learn some things. So the second round, to me, if you're a Wizards fan, you know, considering that you had a down year last year, it's cool, but it doesn't signal that the team is ready to take off. It just signals that, okay, we're a second-round team. So the conference finals is that next level. It's that next layer of attention. It's the next layer of scrutiny. And it gives you a certain level of respect that it's going to last for a while. Like, I think people – even when Toronto was struggling this year, people took them seriously the whole time because they were the team that went to the conference finals. Now that they traded for Serge Ibaka and P.J. Tucker, they might be fourth or third or whatever. People are scared of them now, but because they know they've been there. And that's where the Wizards have to get to. If they can be a team that can get that far, there's a certain level of respect that comes with that. And there's a certain way you view a franchise when you get that far.
Absolutely. And Wizards-Celtics, if that happens, I think you kind of like the Wizards in that one.
I like the Wizards.
I mean, obviously, things could, by the time we get to that round, who knows where things will be staying. But
yeah, Boston concerns me because they haven't won a playoff series, you know, with this group. It's been 5 years since they won a playoff series. So, you know, and they haven't looked good against good teams this season. They have, you know, a couple wins against, you know, the Wizards and Cleveland. But overall, They just don't look like a team that I'm afraid of going into the postseason. They're not entering the postseason strong. So if I have my options for the second round, I'd rather have the Celtics just because they haven't done it. They haven't proven it. And you're talking about the champs versus a team that still has to win a playoff series to really prove it.
If you have your druthers, first round looks like it'll either be Bucks or Hawks. Right now, as we're talking this minute, it's the Hawks, but the bottom of the East is so crazy how maybe the Bulls are in there. I don't even know. But if you're the Wizards, anybody you want to face, anybody you don't want to face?
If you're a team with home court advantage and you've earned the third or fourth seed, you don't need to care who you face. because, and if you're the Wizards and you play at a level, if you want to win in 50 games and you're a division champ, your focus should be that whoever's in front of you, you want to beat them. Like, you're going to have to beat whoever. And if you're worried, like, are we good enough to beat Milwaukee? Are we good enough to beat Atlanta? You're probably not good enough to beat Boston or Cleveland. And I think that they've proven over the course of the season that they're able to hang with whoever. Being worried about who they face, it really shouldn't matter. Atlanta has been up and down. They've been shaky. You know, it's not the same team they faced 2 years ago. Milwaukee, still very young. I wouldn't worry about the first round. The first round shouldn't. That you should be looking past that.
I feel like if it's a Wizards Hawks first round series, it's like the Mr. Michael Lee series. you got roots in both of those spots. Do you know where you're going to be for the playoffs? Yet? Is that if the Wizards are you going to be around here more?
I'm not sure yet. Yeah, that a lot of things just depend on what happens and where the best stories are. So.
Right. See, I think Wizards Hawks. That's like an NBA TV kind of series.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but Wizards Bucks.
Right.
I mean, it's not like it's gonna like the Wizards will get the attention that they probably have warranted in the second round, and if they get to the conference finals, because even if they were playing like an ideal, I don't know what the ideal first round matchup would be.
I don't think there is one for TV purposes. Yeah. I don't think there is one. All those teams are either small market or not that interesting.
Yeah, so it's not like that big a deal. They're probably gonna be stuck on NBA TV, unfortunately, just because they're rarely on ABC and ESPN now. Yeah. So they're not gonna all of a sudden get excited about having them on when the playoffs come. That's why I said a conference finals trip would do wonders, because I think if fans got to see the Wizards in seven games in the conference finals, they'll be so blown away by how exciting this team is, how exciting John and Brad are, that the networks will say, we want to see more of this.
Right.
Because their playoff series, they looked good. You know, they were fun when they beat the Bulls that year, fun when they swept Toronto. They should have beat Atlanta. You know, there were situations where, you know, I think that there's been a lot of excitement, but who's you know, the attention is greater the further along you go, and that's when people really get to see you. And I think that's why I go back to saying that they can't be satisfied with the second round this year.
Yeah, no, you make the conference finals, you're a Christmas Day team.
Yeah.
And that is sort of the either that's telling the world these are the best teams or the most interesting, like the Timberwolves were on this year, even though it didn't quite work out. But but yeah, so that, I'm with you on that. All right, well, Michael, definitely appreciate it as always. I'm sure we'll see you in the playoffs, and I'm going to make you come back on here again, and at that point assess whatever's going on with the Wizards. I know you're not a guy who likes to make predictions, so I won't ask you this: is Golden State the overwhelming favorite, do you think, at this point, even with the certain uncertainty with KD?
Kevin's coming back. You know, he's going to finish out the season on the court. And if he can run and jump, I think that they're going to win it.
Can you imagine if he had come here? I know this isn't stupid, and I should never bring it up, and everybody can yell at me.
Oh, man, you're still bringing that
up. I'm just saying, but like the whole point, everybody was like, oh, well, why would he come here? They can't win. They're going to, looks like they might win 50 games and be, you know, the three seed maybe without him.
You know what? And I think, and this will probably start something else, the best thing that happened to John and Brad, I'll say, is that Kevin didn't come. Because
it allowed them to grow without him having to.
It allowed them to grow. They became leaders. And I think it really gave them a bigger chip to show what they're capable of. Because I said all along, I thought after that series against Atlanta, the Wizards should have done something bold, because John and Brad had proven that they were ready to make that leap. Unfortunately, they had a real bad year last year. But I think now people are seeing that these two guys are special. And they can do some big things. Now that they have a coach that's instilled, you know, the utmost confidence in them, you're starting to see them take their games to the next level. So, yeah, if Kevin had come, they would have been very deferential to him. And who knows if Brad becomes this 20-point scorer. You know, he might. Who knows? But with a Kevin here, you can sort of even see it with a Steph Curry. look what he had to do to adjust his game to make that fit.
Right.
Imagine if you're a guy who isn't established and then you have Kevin Durant show up. You have to defer to him so much that and they may not even get the attention they deserve, because it'll be like, wow, look what Kevin did to help John grow as a leader. Look what Kevin did to help Brad become a 20-point scorer. And they wouldn't get the credit for the work that they put in individually to be great. So I know a lot of people would love to see Kevin here.
Well, I was going to say, so what you're really setting up is, now that they've established this, and when they make the Eastern Conference Finals, when Durant opts out of his contract, now he can come here because they've already proven that. That's what you're saying, right?
I'm going to let you say that. I'm going to get out of that because I probably already started too much trouble.
All right, Michael, appreciate it. Of course, follow Michael. You already do already, but make sure you follow Mr. Michael Lee on Twitter at Mr. Michael Lee. Read all his stuff on The Vertical. At least click on the links. He wants you to read it because he writes good stuff, but at least click on it. Leave the page open for a minute or two so he'll get credit. That'll make everybody at Yahoo feel happy. All right, man, appreciate it, and we'll catch you guys next time on the podcast. Until then, see you.
Everybody just Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Bobby Sy, caught.
Long drive, long bounce shot.
Dagger!